Hello, this is Tony Flanders, and I'm talking to Joshua Roth. Our review in the March 2011 issue of Sky and Telescope focuses on the merits of these $300 telescopes to beginners. Now we're talking about their attractions to people who already own one or more larger telescopes.
Let's imagine another niche. Somebody's bought a reasonably fancy telescope as a starter telescope. Let's say maybe an 8-inch SCT or a 10-inch Dopp, and now they want a little telescope to back it up. They're already now fairly familiar with the sky. They're used to astronomy. They probably have some fairly nice eyepieces. You tend to think of experienced amateurs as caring most about optics, yet the telescope that I think is least likely to appeal to people is the one with the best optics, namely the 3-inch Space Probe. And the reason is, simply, it's not that small. You're probably now willing to spend some real money. And really the attraction of the 3-inch Space Probe is what it gives you for the money.
Well, to be sure, if we were advising somebody, let's say they want to get in the hobby of astronomy, or that they've got kids, they want to educate and challenge scientifically, and money's really tight, and they really can only afford to spend $100 to buy one of these telescopes, then I would recommend the 3-inch Altaz telescope. And we're talking about somebody who doesn't own any other eyepieces, because I think it gives you the most well-rounded experience. It will give you enough magnification, you enough magnification to see a respectable amount of detail on the planets and the moon. And yet, with its other eyepiece, it's a field of view where you can take in globular clusters and planetary nebulae, and the thing has legs you can extend, you can observe seated, you can observe standing. It's just a wonderful, and the optics, as you said, are very good. Odds are you'll never have to collimate it. It's a great package. But yes, if you already have an 8-inch Dobb or an 8-inch Mitcas or a 4-inch refractor or something, and then you just want to grab and go scope, I think the stability and just the sureness and the tactile response of those two tabletop mounts is pretty hard to beat. I mean, I think you could charge $100 just for the mount to slap it on a tripod. The other thing is that if you have a big telescope, the one thing you can't do with it is have a really wide field. And then there's some argument for your second telescope being really, really short.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Lastly, I don't know, I just think people at a certain point in a pursuit of a lot of hobbies like things simpler. I'm thinking of all the guitarists I know who now play ukuleles. It's simpler, it's just more minimalist, it's more spontaneous, it travels better, it's cuter, and at some point that mindset, I think, carries over to astronomy, too. So I, being someone who has owned a 12-inch truss tube telescope and someone who's observed professionally with some of the world's largest telescopes, I get a kick, personally, about seeing, you know, what's the smallest telescope I can see Barnard's galaxy in? What's the smallest telescope I can see the H2 region in M33 with? What's the smallest telescope I can see shadow transits on Jupiter with? It just flips my switch. It's a challenge. And I think a lot of people share that. The other thing is just the spontaneity, is being able to throw a telescope in your car when you're on a camping trip with your whole family and you don't have room for the storage locker that holds the 8-inch Mitcas.
Right. And moreover, I mean, if somebody breaks into the car while you're away and steals it,
you're out
$100.
Yeah, and for sidewalk astronomy, for doing school programs and stuff, it's just like, you're not going to freak out if a kid touches the lens. You have a little fingerprint on it.
I mean, clearly, you're most drawn to the 80-millimeter refractor. I actually think that probably is the one that's most likely to attract your average experienced amateur.
Wanting a cheap grab-and-go scope.
Exactly.
I was really impressed looking at Starfields and Cygnus and looking at M71 and the double cluster and Phicas and the Pleiades with how tight the stars were. It was sweet. Cruising around the Milky Way with that setup was very, very pleasant. And when I looked at Jupiter,
it's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, the moons are just nice, tight moons. You see the North Equatorial Band, you see a little shading on the poles. You knew when you were in focus. The focuser is a dream. And when you hit the sweet spot, you knew you were there, and you could just enjoy the view. Yes,
there was a purple haze around Jupiter, but I thought it was remarkable.
It's a pity that the Skyscanner doesn't have a diffraction-limited mirror. Not that it's a bad scope.
No. I mean, to be sure, when I used the Skyscanner, the 4-inch reflector on fields like M71, the double cluster, I saw deeper. No question about it. I saw more stars, fainter stars, more diffuse luminosity with the 4-inch reflector. It's a light bucket.
Right, there's no substitute for aperture.
You know, perspective. Had I had any of these telescopes when I was a kid, when I was a high school student or a junior high school student, I would have been out every clear night, looking and looking and looking for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I would have been in heaven. I think one of the most important things that any of these telescopes could do is really change a kid's life.